So we thank God for another good morning that God has given us to listen to His word. And indeed, it's not by might, not by power, but by the Spirit of God. Today we're going to look at 2 Peter, and we're going to look at the encouragement of Peter to the church. And we're going to look from chapter 1, and then we're going to look at it a bit, and then just look at the first few verses of it. So, 2 Peter chapter 1, the Bible says, Simon Peter, a bond servant and apostle of Jesus Christ, to those who have obtained like precious faith with us by the righteousness of our God and Savior Jesus Christ, grace and peace be multiplied to you in the knowledge of God and of Jesus our Lord, as His divine power has given to us all things that pertains to life and godliness through the knowledge of Him who called us by glory and virtue, who called us to glory and virtue, by which we have been given to exceedingly great and precious promises, that through this you may be partakers of the divine nature, having escaped the corruption that is in the world through lust. To have an understanding, Peter was the pastor of, or rather of the Jews, of the church in Jerusalem, and him alongside James. Remember, Peter was given the responsibility to, as the builder of the church. You know, when Jesus said, "I will build my church, and the gates of hell shall not prevail," he spoke to Peter, and even in the times of the restoration of Peter, he asked him, "Do you love me more than this?" Then he told him, "Feed my lambs, tend my flock, feed my sheep." So there was a command that God had given Peter to raise the church and to fulfill the church. But of course, Peter struggled a bit, especially with reaching out to the Gentiles. And he is the one that told the Lord, "Not so, Lord." And because of this, we see the ministry of Paul arising. And of course, there is that argument that because he refused, "Not so, Lord," then Paul was able to be picked up. He was a soul. I mean, at that point, he was the persecutor of the church, and he was transformed into being Paul. So God had to show that he can use anyone and he can raise anyone to replace. And unfortunately, he understood later on that there were things that were given for him that he missed out. So, but when you see, he calls himself a bond servant, and I think the understanding of the bond servant in the Hebrew culture would be a willing slave, you know, someone that has been set free. You're set free to be on your own. You're set free to leave your master, but you say you love your master, and you do not want to be released. And because of that, you find that someone says, "No, I'm ready to stay with my master. I love my master. The families, he has helped me to raise the children. I am a son," and the bond servant will stay willingly. And of course, then the ear will be nailed to the doorpost of the house as a sign of that. So when he says he's a bond servant, he's an apostle of Jesus Christ, he knows for sure that he has willingly given his life to serve after Christ. And then he says he's now writing to those who have obtained like precious faith. You know, one of the things that we need to at times we forget that Christ has paid for us such a price that was so precious, and Peter describes it even in 1 Peter, that he described it as we were bought not with perishable things such as gold or silver, but with the precious blood of Jesus Christ, a lamb that was slain, that was without blemish. So there is a precious faith that all of us who have believed have received. And he says that this is by the righteousness of our God and Savior, Jesus Christ. So remember, we speak righteousness is right standing given to us by God through the the death, believing in the death, burial, and resurrection of Jesus Christ, and this death and the sacrifice was for the forgiveness of our sins. And we that have believed in that have received right standing with God, and that is the precious faith that God has given us. Then he writes to these people and he says, grace and peace be multiplied to you in the knowledge of God and our Savior Jesus Christ. You know, so there is a multiplication of grace and peace. Grace, remember, is divine enablement. In this part, it means the enablement of God to do his work, to do his will. He says now, grace and peace. We looked at the gospel of peace. We looked at the understanding that peace is from the Prince of Peace. And God is saying that when you understand him, when you know him, through knowledge, the more you know about God, grace and peace are multiplied to you. So the difference between what you are or where you are and where you need to be in the Lord is just dependent on your knowledge. And because your knowledge results in grace and peace being multiplied to you. So that's why it's very important to keep learning, to keep reading, to keep studying the Word of God, such that grace and peace can be multiplied. And the Pandora Bible says something, as his divine power has given to us all things that pertain to life and godliness. Everything that you need for life and godliness is given to us by the divine power of God. And this, again, it says through knowledge. So you can see knowledge is coming in twice here. So we're being told grace and peace comes through knowledge, it's multiplied through knowledge, and then the divine power, God's divine power, gives us all things that pertain to life and godliness through knowledge of him. So the more we know God, the more we have an intimate relationship with God, the more we desire intimacy, the more we desire his presence, the more he puts in us that hunger for God. You know, there is a way that when you long for God, when you say you belong to God, he even helps you to pray. He helps you to wake up. You know, you might be so far away, you might feel like you are so lost, but then the moment you submit yourself, you just like, it's like you just incline your ear. The moment you just say, okay, God, I'm back, I'm here, there is something that God does. It's like he restores you again and he starts to renew you again. And that's why the Bible says he has given us all things that pertain to life and godliness through the knowledge of him who has called us to glory and virtue. Everything that you need, God has supplied. You know, there is a supplication. There is a supply that is available for every situation. But this is through our intimacy, through our knowledge of God. When we know him, when we have chosen to know him, when we have chosen to walk with him, when we have chosen to be intimate with him, then there are things that God has already laid out for us that become accessible to us. The difference between those that walk in prosperity, those that walk in receiving the things that God has for them, it's their intimacy, their knowledge of God. And then the Bible says, God has called you to glory and virtue. Glory is beauty, the beauty of God, the majesty of God. There is a glorification that God has called us. Those whom he loved, those whom he foreloved, he predestined, he justified, he glorified, because one, he wanted us to be conformed to the image of his son. So there's a glory, there's a virtue that comes from our knowledge for God. Then the Bible says, which have been given to us exceedingly great and precious promises, that through this we may be partakers of the divine nature. You know, when God says he's given us exceedingly great promises, these are the promises that you must keep reminding yourself. You must keep reminding yourself of the righteousness of God in Christ Jesus. You must keep reminding yourself that your past sins were forgiven. You must keep reminding yourself that there is a reward, there is an eternal salvation that God has worked out for us, that is awaiting us, that is just a matter of time. that once we transition from this world, then we shall enter into our inheritance. You know, anytime you listen to the aspects that are happening in the current world, all they talk about is, you know, new world orders. They talk about changes here and there that, you know, they'll be implanting chips and all these things. And by you feel the world is getting, you know, more and more wicked. But then when you listen to the wrong things, then it can awaken a fear. But you see, when you come back to God and when you come back to the Word reminds us that we have exceedingly great and precious promises. And these precious promises give us what is the divine nature. Divine nature is the nature of God. That means that enablement of God, that the component of God that enables us to overcome the world. He that is in you, he that is in us is greater than he that is in the world. So by this partaking in divine nature, it enables us that we can escape the corruption that is in the world through lust. God's nature within us helps us to overcome sin, helps us to overcome lust, helps us to overcome the corruption that is in the world through lust. It's the divine nature of God within us that pulls us to righteousness, that restores us to righteousness, that calls us home, that even when we have moved far away, the divine nature in us, there is that seed that God looks for us. Now, these are very important and precious promises, but you cannot just dwell on the promises. You cannot just rest on the promises without being a doer of the word. That's why James speaks about it. He says that let us not just be hearers of the word, but doers. Now, let's look at verse 5, which is very important, because at times we feel like, oh, yeah, faith is enough, you know. What God has done for us is enough. We just rest on it and there is nothing that is needed on our part. Look at what verse 5 says. But for this very reason, giving all diligence, he says, add to your faith. So we are being told giving all diligence. That means there's a diligence that God expects us to do. And he says to what? Add to your faith. So to your faith, add virtue. That means good character. To virtue, add knowledge. That means on top of your character, add knowledge. To knowledge, add self-control. Now remember, all these things are being added to your faith. So there is an importance of growing and moving on from just believing, or from just standing on the precious promises, exceedingly great promises that God has given us, all these things, to actually the practical life that demonstrates that we have received the divine nature, that we have received the life of God, that the life of God is at work in us. That's why it says you now make all due diligence to add to your faith virtue, and to virtue knowledge, and to knowledge self-control, and to self-control, perseverance. That means beyond just, you know, self-control is denial, self-denial. There are things that you might want for at this point, but you see, if it is contrary to the will of God, you control yourself, you put yourself to death. You don't allow that nature to override the things that will hinder you from receiving the best of God. And then the Bible says, add to self-control, perseverance. To perseverance, godliness. And to godliness, brotherly kindness. And to brotherly kindness, love. Now the Bible says, verse 8, for if these things are yours and abound, you will be neither barren nor unfruitful in the knowledge of our Lord Jesus Christ. One of the biggest challenges that people go through, especially in the Christian walk, is the lack of bearing fruit. You just find that you are not being fruitful. You're going through barrenness. You don't, you know, you're not progressing, be it spiritually, be it impacting people through the gospel, be it in the family, be it in various aspects of your life. And God is saying that if these things are yours, if these things that he has listed, the things that you add to your faith, that you've added virtue, that you've added knowledge, that you've added self-control, that you've added perseverance, that you've added godliness, brotherly kindness, and love, and these are things that we know. And he's saying, if these things are yours and they abound, that means you increase in them, you increase in virtue, you increase in knowledge, you increase in self-control, you're adding to your faith. Yes, you have believed Christ has done this for us, but beyond that, you have done a due diligence to add to your faith. You add these things. And then the Bible says, if these things are yours and abound, you'll be neither barren nor unfruitful. That means there are people who are barren. There are people who are unfruitful in their knowledge of God. Yes, they have the knowledge of God. Yes, they claim to have possession. They claim to have confession. They claim to believe. But you see, their lives do not bear the fruit. They do not bear fruit. But when we bear fruit, it is because we have added these things. And then the Bible says an interesting, for he who lacks these things is short-sighted, even to blindness, and has forgotten that he has been cleansed from his old sins. That means when you don't add these things to your Christian walk, the Bible says you are short-sighted. That means that you cannot see far. You cannot see danger ahead. You cannot have vision. You will not know what is coming. And then the Bible says, why is this man short-sighted? Because even to blindness, that means you lose your sight, you lose your vision, you lose the aspect that hears from God. Why? Because you've not added to your faith. And then the Bible says, because he has forgotten that he has been cleansed from his old sins or from his past sins. Now look, compare also with verse 10, what does the Bible say? Therefore, brethren, be even more diligent to make your call and election sure. Yes, God has called us. Yes, God has saved us. Yes, God will keep us in salvation. But then he tells you, make some things sure. Make your call and election sure. Make your growth in the things of God sure. Add to your faith. Add these things, because if you increase, they are yours and they are bound, you'll be never be barren or unfruitful in your knowledge of God. And then he says, make your call and election sure, for if you do these things, you will never stumble. For an entrance will be supplied to you abundantly into the everlasting kingdom of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. The scriptures are very clear to us that, you know what, if these things you add them, you will make your election, your call sure. Not only that, you will never stumble. You will not come to offense. God will help you stand. Why? Because it is him that enables you. And you know, even all these things that we are saying that you add, it is the grace of God that enables you to add. When it says, work out your salvation with fear and trembling, for it is God who works in you, both to will and to do according to his good pleasure. There is a willingness that God gives every child that considers himself a child of God. When you know the Spirit of God dwells in you, the indwelling Spirit of God, you allow him, you yield yourself to him, and he starts to work out love in you. He starts to work out faith in you. He starts to work out knowledge in you. He starts to work out self-control, brotherly kindness. Why? Because that is the nature. That is the fruit of the Spirit. There is a point where we will not focus so much on the gifts of people, but we will focus on the fruit of their spirit, the fruit of their lives. Does their character reflect the character of Christ? Do how they live in their homes reflect the character of Christ? Does it reflect one that is committed to the things of God, one that is not short-sighted, one that has not been brought to blindness, one that is walking in fruitfulness. The Bible says, if you do these things, make your election and your call sure by the Spirit of God. We are those that are carried by the Spirit of God. Always remember, there is the union of your spirit and the Spirit of God. And the Spirit of God, through the simplicity of your thoughts, He will just speak to you on the ways of righteousness. When David prays that, guide me in the paths of righteousness for your name's sake, it is just by the Spirit of God. Walk in step with the Spirit. The Spirit does not come in, you know, at times people expect all the light, all the differences, things. No. It's always in the stillness of your voice, in the stillness of your thoughts, in the stillness of your dreams, in the correction that comes. God comes to speak His mind, and He tells you everything. And when you listen to that voice, you will always know the satisfaction of the Holy Spirit. You will always know that now you're walking in a sure path. You're walking in the path of light. And I pray that God enables each and us, you and I, to walk in this path, to be obedient, because the carnal nature does not desire obedience to God. That the nature of Christ, the life of Christ in us, will every day pull us back to the place of truth. And I pray that God will enable us and strengthen us and move us, even that we might feel after Him, we might find Him, because He is not far away from us. I'll stop here, and I pray that God gives us insight into this. My brother, you're welcome, as God leads you.
Thanks for sharing. No additions from my side.
Sure. Thanks. Let us pray. Heavenly Father, we thank you for your word. We thank you for your reminders that indeed, while he was still in the body, he said he will be constant to remind us of these things, even though we already know them, that we should be firmly established in them. And I pray for an establishment in our lives, in our families, in our character, O God, that, Lord, you bring us to diligence to add to our faith, to add these things, to grow in them by the grace that you give us, to work in us both to will and to do according to your good pleasure, because of these promises that they are great and precious, that we should not forget them, but we should learn them, we should experience them. Thank you for the divine nature that enables us to escape the corruption of this world. I thank you for your word that is true, your word that is life. Help us to not just be hearers of the word, but doers, O God. May we walk in truth, may we walk in guidance. Thank you for our families, watch over them. Pray for any that is unwell, O God. We come against every sickness, O God. Thank you that, Lord, you are the healer. Thank you for the church, that you strengthen it, you help us, O God. You walk with us, you are our shield, you are our portion. May your name be praised, be exalted, and be magnified. Guide our steps, watch over us, be with us. In everything that we do, we return all the glory to you, God. May this day be ordered and guided of you. Thank you for the peace of God that surpasses human understanding, and declare shalom in every part of our lives, in the workplace, in our families, in our homes, O God, with our children, O God. We thank you and we bless your name. We pray all this in Jesus' mighty name. We pray and believe. Amen. 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 Shalom, and have a blessed, blessed day ahead.